Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
No. What he just said, man. Erase.
Lines are moving here based on injuries and how teams have played.
Come on, you know what time it is. It's time for Moneyline with Kevin Walsh.
That is, with no respect, the single dumbest thing I've ever heard. And if that is your opinion, just know you are a buffoon who needs to go back to the drawing board.
And Donnie Rightside.
Now at least the shadow ban's off my account. So, I mean, come on now. We're living. We're out here living now on Twitter, man. I'm telling you, that's the way to go.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network. Sirius XM, channel 159.
Let's go! Thursday afternoon, right here on the grid. It's Moneyline, down your right side. Kevin Walsh and a crowd of millions around the world listening that can all call in whenever they want at 844-843-6879. Some big topics to get to. Thursday night football. The intriguing thing here tonight, Kevin, who is actually going to be the starting quarterback for those Los Angeles Rams?
Yeah, I mean, if you ask me right now, my guess is Baker Mayfield. We've heard that there's a questionable tag right now slapped on John Wofford. If he's not willing to go, it's going to be Baker Mayfield. I guess my question is, if there's a scenario where you're willing to play Baker, so just play Baker regardless of Wofford's status.
My favorite part about it is, like, I always like to take things to extremes. So a guy that's one hit away from a wheelchair in John Wofford because they don't even know if he can is help. I love this, too. This isn't a hamstring. Hey, buddy, your neck is injured. Yeah, you know, let me run around a little bit in pregame, see if my neck gets better. What are we talking about here? This isn't like a life-or-death right. game for the Rams where if they win, they're back in it, and they just need to get a guy who knows the playbook out there. Why are you starting Baker Mayfield to begin with at that point anyway? Because the joke of it all is Perkins was announced as the third. Like, they don't even want that guy anywhere near a football field, but they're willing to put Wofford out there with a neck injury. Just put Mayfield out there. It doesn't – Mayfield could stink. He could be bad, whatever. I don't even think there's an option at this point. It should be Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I do think you hit on a very important part of the starting Baker Mayfield thing, though. And – the result doesn't matter. It's about Nothing. The mindset of the people, though. Of if Baker goes out there tonight and is terrible, sure, tomorrow morning, plenty of people will react by saying, what a bust, he'll never work, why'd the Rams waste $1 million? But those people don't matter. Heck, I might say it tomorrow, Donnie might say it tomorrow. As long as Baker and McVay say, hey, look, tonight is a preseason game. This doesn't matter. If you're amazing, who knows? But this game doesn't matter. Let's have fun. Let's rip it around. Not that you're going to do something. Like, if the game's a one-possession game, you're not going to try your hardest. But I'm talking about softening the blow. Because you cannot have the Rams doubt the decision or Baker self-destruct and go, I can't believe they made me play on 48 hours notice.
Yes, and also, this wouldn't even be a conversation if they had a legitimate quarterback in the building for tonight. I'm not even talking about Matthew Stafford. If Wofford never was injured, this wouldn't, hey, you know, Baker's going to be active. He'll actually be the number two, but he's not playing tonight. He's going to get a better feel for the playbook, and in the next coming week, he will be the starting quarterback. That's usually what you would probably hear. But the fact of the matter is, you're going to put a guy, it's unheard of. Like, a lot of times you can have a running back, you get two, he has the playbook. Or how about you get a wide, he doesn't know anything about the playbook. He's got a package of, like, three plays we'll use in the red zone. But to put a quarterback out there and say he's ready to go 18 hours after landing, which is pretty stupendous stuff. We like I joke about a defensive end, like, oh, is he ready? What do you mean he's not ready to play? All he has to do is rush the passer. So this is uncharted territory we're looking into. But I actually would be very surprised if Mayfield isn't the starting quarterback. Because last thing the NFL needs is, now let me get this straight, guys. He has a neck injury. And after one quarter, he's laying on his back with a stretcher coming out. Why? Because he has a neck injury. Come on now.
Well, let's multiply this. Have you seen some of the conversation around Matthew Stafford coming from even, you know, the pro football doc, Dr. David Chow, who joins us a couple of times a week here on the network? He thinks there's a world Stafford's career is over. Not definitively, yes. Not 100%, but, like, I'm talking about, now, that has a lot to do with Baker in the long-term future, but you're right. We can't, I don't mean to laugh, but it's just such a ridiculous thing that we're even like, why would we even consider Wofford playing? The Rams cannot have two quarterbacks' career end in the same season on their watch. Like, that's, again, we don't laugh because we don't make light of it. It's just, This shouldn't be hard. Baker should be announced the starting quarterback tonight while we are live on this show, and hopefully then we can get you guys some analysis on some Baker Mayfield props.
Because we know how it goes, right? Like the Tua Tagovailoa, hey man, it looks like he had a concussion the week before. They're running him out there. And what happens? The dude almost gets killed against the Cincinnati Bengals and carted off and everybody questioning it. Isn't it easy? Like tonight, if Wofford plays and goes all the way through, yeah, sure, you're not going to hear about it. But the chance that he leaves because he aggravated a neck injury or worse would be ridiculous for the NFL to even go through that. So even put Perkins, hey, look, he knows the playbook. He's terrible, but look, we're going nowhere, so he's going to be run out there. Give him something. Again, God, I can't even get his neck. I mean, come on.
I mean, but you want to, again, explain yourself, person who thought Bryce, Perkins deserved a spot on this roster. I mean, good grief. They're like, listen, we're never letting that guy play another down, man.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, like, Wofford isn't any good, and he might be paralyzed after the game tonight, but we can't even put Perkins in the game who could be that much worse. Get it together, Rams. I mean, get it together out here. We'll be right back here after the break. A lot more to go right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number one here. Yeah, it's a great song. By the way, it's a great song here. Tears for Fears.
Are we going to work Christmas music in at some point?
Yeah, we will. Yeah, we will. I think we will.
When? When's the appropriate time?
So do we have to send stuff to JP? Because there's a lot of hits there that need to be played across here.
I think he's got it handled. Do we do? Do we? He just JP very proudly today. He's locked and loaded. I guess he loves Christmas.
I'm on a JP time. What are we talking about? Like December 27th, we're going to get these Christmas?
Wow. From the hip.
People needed that. Yeah, the people
from
needed
the hip.
That
there. What's the deal? You got decorations, lights, trees up or no?
Me? The wife put them up the day after Thanksgiving.
Stop it.
Yeah. Like Thanksgiving, the Friday morning, I like wake up and there's like a tree in my living room already, and
That means you roll with the fake tree, respectfully.
Yes, we roll fake tree in this house here.
How do you feel about that?
Honestly, I like regular. We've had them in the past. Differences there, but I guess it's just easier for everything. Now, granted, in the place I could probably go out in my backyard and cut down a tree and bring it back in the house at this point, but
now
we roll fake
style.
Tree. Exactly. Yeah. Like we got a nice, like tall, we could have one of these, just a regular, like, not even a Christmas tree. Just throw a damn tree in there. You know what I mean? See how it looks in there at that
We've point. Always done a real one in the Walsh house.
Like, I like real trees. I prefer real trees.
Yeah, I do too. But now that I'm out here in Jersey, I don't have the bandwidth for that. So threw a little fake one up in the place. It's rocking and rolling though.
Like growing up as a kid, like having the real tree, like dragging it out there, like, you know, January 2nd, like the day before you're like going back to school, tough scene, man. It's like, man, how fast did Christmas go by as you were a kid? Because I remember growing up all the way through, like outside of like the last day of school, like from like first grade through like fifth grade, the day before like Christmas, let's just say December 23rd, it's like a half day. But it's just a party for the entire day where you eat, you have some pizza, Doritos, soda, you know, the TV, when the TV rolls in, they pop. It's just one of the best days as a kid you could ever had. And then one of the most devastating days as a kid is like the last day of Christmas break where you're heading into like the depth of like the work, like January, February. Oh,
Thompson. So you're going to get a real smile out of this one. So you just said January 2nd, right? Totally not intentional, because that's like...
No. Yeah.
Because you go back to school the next day, right?
Yes, correct.
So the next day is January 3rd?
Yeah.
That's my birthday. That was always my big birthday gift, hitting back to school. Everybody's miserable. Wow. Nobody wants to be there. Just getting in the mix. I mean, look, it was weird because even though it was like, it's the first day, you were kind of pumped to see people for the first time. What do you mean, let me write that down? Like, why would you villainously say, let me write that down?
Just add pieces to the puzzle and just save them for maybe later.
I don't understand why you just villainously said, let me write that down.
Exactly. I mean, but
like most people are, January 3rd.
You know, we'll roll out the year soon. You know, then we'll have pictures of this house and that house. Like, it's all, like, ever see like that little meme where the guy's going crazy trying to connect dots? Just a little more so that he set it aside like a good detective. Like, Moose is probably listening. He knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Right, he's got
but that was pretty good, though. I'm surprised you let the January 3rd get out over the air. That was pretty good, though. So, all right. But it's a good story, though, because now, was it a good thing for you? Like, it pumped you back up to go back to school? Or was it like, man, I can't even celebrate because I'm so devastated being back in school?
No, that was the thing. I was always excited that morning, you know what I mean? And so I was in a good cheering mood. But that kept the Christmas tree in my house longer maybe than most people. Because we weren't going to rip that thing out for my birthday. I had to enjoy the tree. So that tree had a little extra life in it thanks to the birthday.
Yeah, because I got a September birthday. So it was like growing up, at least you did. I was like, is it a, you know, because, mama, you get a double Christmas. Like if your birthday is like December 20th, I feel like it's not spread out enough. Like you need that separation of like, ooh, presents here, presents at another time in the year.
So there's people that have literal Christmas birthdays.
Yeah.
In like elementary school, there was a pair of twins, or not, there were twins in the class. Like they were born December 25th, right? There's people born on Christmas Eve, the day.
Wow.
Yeah, like, you know, so when people, did you just say plural?
Yeah.
Wait, did he just say, hold on.
Are they both on Christmas?
Now time out. Now, JP, is your mic open? Did people just hear you?
Oh, no. Now they do.
So what did you just say?
Two of my ex-girlfriends had birthdays on Christmas.
I mean, I don't even understand.
What are the odds, right?
Does that mean just was it twins? You know what I mean?
No,
like you dated one, they broke up, and you dated the other one. So that's the only thing I can think of at that point.
There's no other explanation.
Man,
I mean, come on. What, completely, like, separate? They didn't, why would they not know any? Did they know each other? That would make it weirder, maybe.
Even better than that. Two of them were on Christmas, and I dated a girl with a birthday 2 days before Christmas.
What is this?
I don't know. It's like the weirdest coincidence in my life.
December 20th birthdays?
Yeah, I don't know. Goodness. None of them know each other either.
And that was were we talking about like high school years? Like that's a lot of
money. High school, college, and after college.
Whoa, so that's a lot of money. Because you can't even skimp on that. Like, well, I got you, you know, what do you actually do? Or you just go two for one.
Yeah, what was your
like,
big
here's
plan?
Here's both your presents.
You bring them to an event. So I bring them to like something they wanted to go to, and then I get them something nice. So it's like a two for one. They're out of the way. Boom, done. All right. It's pretty nice.
So you were, so maybe was it like a financial, you would ask women their birthday and they'd be like, Christmas, tremendous. You're my
two
type.
For one. Yeah. That's, get you one gift.
Did you think that like they were pranking you as like it went on? Like after the first girl, the second girl being like Christmas, you're like, that's a lie. No way.
Kind of. Yeah. And then the third one, I was like, all right, you know what? I'm used to this. So we're good to go. I'm locked in here. I know the deal.
Yeah. And or was JP one of those guys that would be like, you know, March. You meet a girl at a bar, like, when's your birthday? Like, February 16th, perfect. Never have to buy you a gift. You know what I mean? One of those type deals. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I'm ready to ask this girl, when's your birthday? It's next month. Ooh, that might cost me a little bit more. Let's stay friends for a little bit here.
Maybe JP was the kind of guy, like, just after Thanksgiving, he hit the sweet spot. Of like, listen, this isn't working. And he bailed on Christmas and birthday gifts.
Yep.
When were those relationships ending, JP?
Yeah.
I mean, no, they are.
What's the deal?
Summer, I think, from as far as I remember.
That is a good point.
I ain't get out of anything.
Like, December 14th, he's, like, setting up the plot. You know what I mean?
Like, here's it's been a ride, eh? Thing. But, look, I got some... I got some stuff, and I got to keep up with it. I guess so. Man, I didn't see that coming.
See how Christmas talk turns into that.
That my point is, for people who are like, ah, you don't even get like a real birthday. No, my birthday's January 3rd. There's people whose birthdays are on Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a tough scene. Like, I'm good. On January 3rd, I get a birthday. Don't worry about me.
Yeah, but it would be nice that if you could pick, would you pick it in like the summer? Like, what would you do?
I've liked it. It's been like this my whole life. I like it. I don't need anything different.
Now, is the brigade's birthday spread around? Are you guys all close in the winter?
So if I'm brigade member one.
Yes. Yeah.
Brigade member two is December 18th.
Okay.
And then brigade member three is June 23rd.
Ah, there you go. Separation there. So June 23rd. I like the enjoyment of, you know, you got something to look forward to, not just a splash. And also your parents, like, hey, man, splash the account December and January. My goodness.
Yeah, look, December, I mean, add Thanksgiving in there. Again, I'm a big boy with brothers that are also fitting the description. So Thanksgiving tab gets ran up. You got a birthday, Christmas, birthday, and then they get 6 months off, 6 month vacation from having to, you know, make it rain.
But so, here's the good part about it. Like, did Dad and Pop ever hit you with this? Hey, I got you the PlayStation, both you and your brother. He opens it up on his birthday, but it's still technically part of your present too. Oh, that's tough.
So this was. I always liked how they did this. I don't think there was any scam or runarounds being had on Christmas. Like, we got it. We would look forward to it. Like, so you open all your individual situations, and then be like, all right, we got a present for the three of you, and you knew it was good stuff coming. And it was usually they drop off the PlayStation. One year we got the Wii. It was for the three of us, which was the way it should have been, but it worked out nicely.
Yeah, there you go. Everybody down there enjoying what they got to enjoy. Also chiming in here on Twitter, Scott says, can't have a girlfriend's birthday around Valentine's Day either. Look at us, scheming to get out of extra presents here, helping the people out listening.
Wow.
There was no women out there listening. It's like, oh, these idiots. Trust me.
I didn't
write this segment. It was Kevin. Kevin wrote this segment, and that's where I just read exactly what he was saying here. Don't hold this against me. I'm married happily. I treat women the right way. We'll be right back here on Money.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Whoa! Look at the music.
Oh,
festive atmosphere. December 8th. Who says no? We are in the mood for giving out winners today, which we will, trust me, on this Raiders-Rams game that we'll go over. But there's a lot of hot topics that we would like to get to today and have some fun with also. Kevin's moment has finally come here, and that's the Falcons benching Marcus Mariota for rookie quarterback Desmond Ridder. He couldn't wait for this, and I thought they did it exactly the way they're supposed to. Technically, Kevin, still in a race to get in a playoff spot. Far enough into the season where the kid knows what's going on, and long enough into the season to realize, yeah, Mariota really isn't that good and is not our future. So what is the point of having Marcus Mariota play the final five games?
The only problem that I have is it's tough because they do stink, and they are no threat to do anything really. But if they would have played him earlier, they would have, I think, felt a lot more alive in this division than they are right now. Honestly, they still are alive in the division. Yeah. I think so, at least. But I'm trying to figure this out. Do you think, are you open to the idea that Ridder is going to be markedly better than Marcus Mariota? Right away, which is the important
marked,
clarifier.
No, but a chance or up. Let's call it upside. Upside on the quarterback position. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I agree. Right. The potential, the unknown. You guys have to remember, Desmond Ridder, old as all get out, man. As far as, you know, rookie quarterbacks go, he was at Cincinnati forever. I think he's like top five in like career wins.
Like married with a kid in college football. I think.
100%. Okay. So this is not some young kid learning the ropes, like doesn't really know what's going on, to a degree. I just think, look at their last two losses, right? The Commanders and the Steelers, what let them down? Well, offensively, they scored, I think maybe a combined, was it 25 points in those two games? I wish they would have done it sooner. I wish they would have did it after the Thursday night loss to the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, I don't know if it would have mattered anyway at this point, but I think it's a soft landing spot for him just to see what he has, and I think it makes some sense. He gave Mariota enough time here. And again, you could still say, well, they're still in the race, Donnie. I mean, are they really? What race are we running down there in the NFC South as it is? I love when the young quarterbacks get brought along, and I would say slower, like as if they sit the entire year or what they did to Jordan Love up there in Green Bay. But I like this, too, because it's not about saying, well, we should have started Ritter at the beginning of the year. Nobody thought the Atlanta Falcons would be that much anyway. And technically, by their record, they're not much. They're just playing in a division where nobody is anything here. But I like this spot here. Is it a better spot for me? Because, as I always like to say, it's hard to get after with a rookie quarterback, which, again, flipping over to Sunday's games, I do think the San Francisco 49ers have the ability to beat down Tampa Bay. Score-wise, I don't know if that means two touchdowns, but one of those, like, man, Tampa can't even move the football out here. Just need a couple plays out of the offense for the 49ers, and they win it. But that's not – even if you had, like, a longtime vet, like as you said, like let's just say we move over or I don't know, what's a third-string quarterback somewhere? Like Joe Flacco for the Jets was a third-string quarterback. No, you know what, Nick Foles. Nick Foles was the third-string quarterback for the Niners. Oh, no. You know, this guy went down. We didn't get anybody else. And Foles will play this way. I mean, man, they're going to smoke Tampa Bay. But it's hard to bet on rookies because you don't know how they're going to react now that they're the full-time starter or perceived full-time starter.
Yeah, what I think is going to end up, you know, being lost by some in the conversation is Brock Purdy is playing a really tough defense this week. Okay? You know, I know he filled in admirably against the Miami Dolphins, but this is a big step up, even if you can say, oh, now he's going to get another week to prepare. I think it could be a very difficult test for him there. And this is the incredible thing, right? Is if you, by the way, if you take a peek at that schedule for Atlanta, they can navigate it. The next three, so they only have four games left.
Yeah.
It's going to be at New Orleans, home against Baltimore, maybe Tyler Huntley, and then home against the Commanders. Now, 3-0 would be super impressive, but just saying, and then that last game is Tampa Bay. You said it right away after Tampa won on Monday Night Football. You're like, look at this schedule. Like, thank goodness they won that game, or this might have really fallen apart here.
Yeah.
Could there be a world where Atlanta could win the division in Week 18 when you look at the two schedules and where everything sits?
I don't know. Let me do some work here on this. So the question would be, can Atlanta win football games, right? As opposed to what Tampa Bay is going to do. Saints, tough one coming. Again, when you say the Saints stink, I do think there's components to the Saints that are decent. Like, as long as Andy Dalton is starting, you're going to get a competent quarterback. Not a great one. As long as Alvin Kamara is out there, even though he's not having a great year, it's still a guy that can do damage, decent wideouts, and a pretty talented defense that might even get Lattimore back, one of the better cornerbacks in the NFL. That's a tough one, and it's on the road at the Ravens. Regardless of, or as you said, who's the quarterback of the Ravens, they're still going to be tough to beat, especially on the road. The Cardinals probably still have Kyler Murray running around there, and then you end it with the Bucs, who might need that to fend you off anyway. That's a tough schedule. Like, you no longer have the Bears and the Panthers a couple times or something like that. Ooh, they saved the Panthers the best for last, even though the Panthers are actually playing decent football. I wouldn't be surprised if the Atlanta Falcons don't win another game this year, you know?
Their schedule's incredible to me. Because not that 4-0 is probable, but 3-1, 1-3, and none of it surprises me.
Yes.
That's the kind of schedule that they are checking in with. But it's, again, when you go to Tampa's schedule, Tampa wins one of their next two games, people are going to be betting the Tampa Bay Bucs to win the Super Bowl, basically. Like, they play Cincinnati and the Niners. If they squeak out one of those games, people are going to be like, never mind. Like,
they're back, Brady. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Why do we ever doubt? Goat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They don't even have to play well. They just somehow steal one of those games, and people are going to be like, yeah, they're going to steal a playoff game.
Exactly.
They're going to steal a playoff game.
You saw the Monday Night Football game. They had 3 points, and again, the 15 drives and only 3 points combined. They win that game. Like, oh, my God, best ever do it. It's like, that's not what I took out of that game. I took out of this game this, like, line me up. And again, I heard it, because being in Philadelphia, and the Eagles are making a run, so people already, there's always doom cloud in Philadelphia, even though there was a Super Bowl one in 2017. It's, oh, my goodness, you know, what could happen here? We have to beat the Cowboys and this and that and the Giants, whatever it is. But it always gets to the playoffs where even the beat writers go, well, you know what? You might find Tom Brady at home, and that means you already won a playoff game. And you know me. Like, I salivate when some people talk about the Green Bay Packers and when the Eagles had to play them. Couldn't wait for that game. I mean, the Eagles went up and down the field. It was a little bit closer than I thought, but it was one of those where people, oh, it's still, you know, Aaron Rodgers. It's not still Tom Brady. Like, if the first round opponent, or should I say the first playoff game for the Eagles coming out of their bye was Tampa, that's a massive win. Because I think they all you have to do is get a good pass rush that the Eagles have, and Tampa's irrelevant at that point. If you don't have a pass rush, maybe Tom Brady can operate. But give me a little pass rush, that team folds up like a 10.
Which, again, they're almost, I feel like they're guaranteed to be playing the Eagles or the Cowboys.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare scenario for Tampa Bay. Now, again, I respect the fear that Tom Brady strikes into people. But quite frankly, same statistics, you change that quarterback name to literally any other name. Yeah. And people are like, this is going to be the easiest first-round layup in the history of the postseason.
I'm going to tell you, you know who it reminds, because the more you watch Tampa Bay games, they're so talented at wide receiver, which is crazy, because all you feel is like, whoa, he's got top guys out there. He's going to make it happen no matter what. He almost moves like Matt Ryan in the pocket, but he's smarter than Matt Ryan. He knows that 1-1,000, 2-1,000, this ball's leaving my hand whether or not the guy's open or I'm throwing it away. Where Matt Ryan doesn't compute it that fast and runs sideways and gets his shoulder pads turned back to the goalpost, running the other direction and takes 18-yard sacks. Brady doesn't do that, but it has that feel where he knows, and granted to him, when you're that old, you have to make changes to your game. Hey, guys, as soon as I catch the football, like it's like a ticking, like a grenade is in my hand. I am not holding on to this because I know what's going to happen. But that doesn't work anymore. It doesn't. And anybody who's watched here, Tampa Bay's going to get it together. If you don't get it together by like the early October, here they come down. No, there's no coming down the stretch here for the Bucs. I just think they're a bad football team. And I can't wait to watch it this week to see how they try to maneuver against that team on versus San Francisco.
Yeah, it's you have to remember, only once this season has that offense looked lively, and it was when the Chiefs ran them off the field.
Yes.
So basically they got to play in blowout mode the whole game.
Ooh, maybe they got it together.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that was nice to see. Tom threw, three touchdowns and 380, and it's like, oh, never mind. It didn't matter. Like, that was a fake 31. Like, it was a garbage time 31 that was, meaningless in the grand scheme of things, and it didn't fix their offense. Here's the thing. I said this, going into the game against the Saints. They beat Seattle in Germany and came off of a bye and played one of the worst defenses in football in the Cleveland Browns. That was supposed to be the fix. They scored 17 points and lost. That was the end of it all for me. That's when I was like, oh, no. There's no juice on this team. There's no turning this around. They'll be in the playoffs, and they will be there for 60 total minutes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. Now, I do. I'm looking forward to that game this weekend, which also puts the 49ers in the crosshair. Favored by 3.5 this weekend against the Buccaneers. The total is 37, and a Tom Brady start with Kyle Shanahan on the other side calling plays. We're at a 37.5, which, again, this is not an indictment on the 49ers. They have a rookie at quarterback. The other side is Tom Brady and a healthy Mike Evans, Godwin, and Julio Jones. And that number's at a 37.5. That lets you know about the caliber of play we're getting for the Buccaneers. But I want to ask you this question, too. The prognosis now for the San Francisco 49ers, and a realistic one, because I know people would watch, probably they can do this here. We still have a rookie quarterback that is going to be playing in incredibly high leverage situations all the way down. Because I don't know if I want to write off K-Dub. I'm going to get your opinion after the break. If we look at the Seattle Seahawks and what they have to offer down the stretch. Because the way people talk about the 49ers, they have like a 5-game lead out in the West and it's a wrap. And it's not. We'll talk about all that and more coming back next. Join us. It's Moneyline Thursday afternoon on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Marching through hour number one right here on The Grid. It's Moneyline. Donnie and Kevin here in the afternoon. Thursday Night Football coming up tonight. We'll talk about that a lot more in hour number two with some wagers. We're also just talking over some things here in the NFL. We are going to get to the Seattle Seahawks versus the San Francisco 49ers. I know they're not playing this weekend, but just talking down the stretch and what's realistic for both sides. But before we do that, let's head to the phone lines, 844-843-6879. It's Gary from Texas calling in on a Thursday on Moneyline. What's good, Gary?
Oh, nothing much. I'm gonna mention my little take about the game tonight in a second, but I sure hope I never have to mention the two words Brittany Griner again in my life after this week. And I heard Ben say something earlier today. I've heard a lot of other people say it. They'll use the term unjustly imprisoned. How on earth was she ever unjustly imprisoned? I mean, she broke a law.
Game tonight. We don't got to get into the Brittany Griner stuff. I'm good on it. What do you got?
That's good. So. Tonight, I usually like unders, and I do like an overprop. I actually believe that if Baker plays, I think that, they're going to run the ball a whole lot more than usual, even if he's in the game. So I think taking overprops for the running backs for the Rams are going to be pretty good, and they're going to be priced decently because they're expected to be behind. And they might not be behind. I'll say that much. So the overprops on anybody you get rushing for the but not the Raiders, I meant to say the Rams. Yeah, pretty close.
Yeah.
That's what I got.
I'll tell you, Cam Akers out here, only 44.5 yards, Williams 24.5 yards. So it's not as if you're asking for, again, Josh Jacobs on the opposite side, 90 yards, essentially 89.5. You would think that would be the case. And also, let's remember, you're not running up against a brick wall. You're running up against the Raiders defense, Kev.
Yeah, it's not a good one. Not a good one at all. I hear his point about trying to back these guys overs. I think the live market tonight will be fascinating just to get a sense of what they're going to do. And look, I'm open to the idea that it's going to be run. Baker is still, a competent NFL quarterback, in my eyes at least, maybe not to everybody else's. And McVay is not going to show up to a game and only run the football. I want to see what this passing yardage number is tonight on Baker. If we get this 198.5, Donnie,
yeah,
I think I got to go over the number.
Yeah, I think you do too. I do, because he's going to be in the game as a quote unquote game manager per se, and they don't have fantastic weapons like if everybody was healthy. But it's still the Raiders. So you anticipate, let's just say the Raiders don't light it up tonight. But they're still probably going to get into the 20s. Like, Baker Mayfield's not handing the football off, establishing the run down 20-10 midway through the third quarter, right? They're going to say, all right, let's take it off here. You got a couple pass plays in you. Even when you come off to the sideline, hey, look, we're looking to use these four type of pass plays coming up. You can be coached throughout the game on what to anticipate coming up, as opposed to you're locked in on just having every single call down, all 40 pages or 50 pages of the game plan in here. That's not going to be the case. But I do agree. I'm leaning more towards the over tonight just because of if Baker does play, he's an over quarterback even if he plays bad, because that means he's probably making bad decisions.
Like Baker to throw a pick tonight is interesting to you? What do you think that price is?
Absolutely.
I don't know if it'll be all too expensive. Yeah, I think that'll be bettable.
Yeah.
I think Baker to throw a pick would be bettable. I don't hate the look at all. Like, I wonder what his pass attempts is. Like, I understand under on pass attempts, if you want to go that direction. I don't hate that move at all.
Yeah, because it's funny, the question this morning is like, what do you think is going to happen with Baker Mayfield tonight? Because it's not as if it's either starting or playing, like, all, or coming in the second quarter. It doesn't make any sense, first of all. If their game plan is like, let's run Wofford out there and we have a couple packages for Baker Mayfield, what are we actually doing at that point then, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't even understand, like, what is even the thought process going around behind the Rams. If you're going to start Wofford, which I can't believe they will, you know me, whenever I hear even the hamstring, hey, by the way, he's going to test out his knee to see if he can play. I'm like, what is going on here? If he has to test it out, he's probably not healthy enough to make it through a full game for the most part. But I would actually be surprised. I thought it was a joke, too. Like, oh, just don't rule it out Thursday night. I said, what do you mean don't rule it out? But little did I know that, Wofford's dealing with a neck injury at this point. I would actually put the favorite to start tonight would be Baker Mayfield at this point. Because they already, it wasn't even like Perkins was even in the mix. They basically came out and said, hey, by the way, he's a third. Don't even talk about him. There's a good chance that Mayfield might start. I actually think he's favored, in my eyes, to start tonight.
Yeah, I don't, for basically every, I don't know a single reason to start Wofford at this point. Again, if you're basically saying, hey, if Wofford's not healthy enough, we think we're going to start Baker, then you should already be starting Baker, in my eyes.
Yes.
Because that means that Baker can play.
Yeah.
I know you might be like, we don't know how good he's going to. Just let him play. I guarantee you he wants to play. He just spent months in a place that ultimately, I'm not saying Carolina didn't give him a chance, but he didn't get the greatest chance in the world. He didn't get the chance he thought he was going to get, I think, if we're honest about it. And the biggest issue is at the end of it, he was healthy and just not being given the opportunity to play. Just let him play. Just let him play. I think it's the much, much better move.
No, I do. I do. Even if it doesn't work out in a win and they score 3 points. Your season is gone anyway at this point. And the last thing you want to do is get another quarterback with a spinal contusion of whatever Matthew Stafford was checking out with, where they couldn't diagnose for 3 weeks, but still running him back out there repeatedly at that point. So it is a difference. All right, NFC West here. Niners, Seahawks, Cardinals, Rams in that order. Now, the Rams do play tonight, and as we said, they're done. 3-9, excuse me, on the season. That's it. Cardinals, they're done at 4-8. But the two teams up top, the 49ers at 8-4 and the Seahawks at 7-5, still a chance for either one of those teams to win the division. Now, it seems like there might be coming down to a key component here, because you have the Seahawks this weekend taking on Carolina. Carolina's playing better football, winners of 2 or 3. Do I expect Carolina to go into Seattle and win? No, I don't. But I also can see a game where Carolina might be able to keep this one close here. Let's just say they beat Carolina, talking about Seattle. The following week, you know what they have at home? San Francisco 49ers. Which I guess the division technically will come down to that game. Because let's just say the Niners, who I expect to win this weekend over the Buccaneers, and I expect the Seahawks to win over the Carolina Panthers, or a legitimate chance that they can do that. San Francisco wins that game, it's a wrap. Because you go to Kansas City the next week for Seattle, you're not winning that football game. And even though you have your final two games home, the Rams aren't anything. You'll probably beat them. But the Jets are going to be playing for a wild card spot. They're going to give you all you can handle at home. Flipping it over here now to the San Francisco 49ers. Buccaneers this weekend win. Seahawks will see. Commanders at home, which still be playing for a playoff spot, but you'll probably be able to beat them at home. At the Raiders, should be able to win that game. And then Cardinals at home, we'll see where they're at. I give the nod to the 49ers, but FanDuel, minus 400. I'm not paying a minus 400 with Brock Purdy as my quarterback.
No, definitely not. I guess what we should... So then just start with this week, right? How vulnerable do you think the Niners are in their game against Tampa Bay? Enough to lose the game? Or do you don't see it at all?
And it's funny because you're saying, well, Donnie, how could you... like? You're basically contradicting yourself in a way. And I am, by saying, boy... I don't know if the 49ers can win out, but I know they can beat a team trying to make the playoffs with Tom Brady quarterback. I just look at the matchup here, right? I'm saying to myself, I have a quarterback, unlike Seattle, who doesn't have a great offensive line, has some big-time weapons at wide receiver, just like Tampa does. But Geno Smith right now, he's a much better quarterback than Tom Brady is. Not 5 years ago, not 2 years ago, not even a year ago. Right now, if you ask me to take a quarterback, honestly, I'm taking Geno right now over Tom Brady. Because I think the matchup for the 49ers front seven can really do damage against Brady's offense.
And that's the crazy bit with why we're entertaining the Seattle conversation at this rate, is it really does feel like the Seahawks somehow traded away Russell Wilson and found a franchise quarterback.
And got better.
I don't know. Do you find that to be like an overreaction? I don't. Like, I think I'm in enough to say that they should be retaining Geno. Geno's a free agent. You know, you talk about all the money Mike White could possibly get.
Yeah.
Like, Geno's actually going to get that money. You know, that's what I feel like we're headed towards.
Yeah, it'll be
interesting
to see, because they could play that long game, like franchise tags and stuff like that, which we've seen many times, and Lamar Jackson actually is doing that. So I think, I don't know if, like, Pete loves him, and I get it. And you want to make your, nobody wants to go in the training camp with the most important piece of your team unhappy because of his contract. And he will be unhappy because of that. Even if you go, hey, man, Geno, look at the money you were making. 1 year tag. What are you getting, $25 million? Like, who would be upset with that at that point? But we know, it's like, well, hold on. Well, it's 25 guaranteed. If you extended me long term, that's like 75 guaranteed. So they would be upset. But I don't, if I'm ownership of Seattle, the tag is there for a reason to use. I would be, unless, if Geno goes, hey, you know what, man? Spread this bad boy out. 6 years, $136 million, 60 guaranteed. I'm happy with that. Thank you for giving me a chance. But that's really not the way it works. When you have a chance to strike gold, you're not asking for, hey, you know what? Let me help you guys out over here on the back end. Like, no, your agent's job is to get you the most possible. And a legitimate starting quarterback, he's going to get paid. But I wouldn't be surprised if they use that tag on him. But still thinking he could be the franchise guy.
Yeah, the other thing with Geno, I will say, man, I think guys love Geno Smith. I think if you ask Metcalf and Lockett, they're like, hey, man, let's not mess around. Like, he is the guy.
Catchable ball, good guy, yep. Rolls around, knows what he's doing. Yeah, trust me, from that perspective, if you're eating good at wide receiver, mm-hmm. yo, keep that guy. It's the same way, like, not even on the same level, like Mike White with the Jets now. Oh. You see their wide receivers going, correct. Like, yo, correct. I'm running routes. I'm not having to dive at my feet. It's not a rocket fireball. I didn't win my route by 4 yards and have an airmailed shot. I'm getting catchable balls. Hell yeah, Mike White, let's ride. Yes.
You couldn't be more right. Every single – the Jets lost what was a pretty defeating game to the Minnesota Vikings. And Garrett Wilson's energy was like, we just blasted this team. Because Garrett Wilson had like a buck 44 through the air, mm-hmm. you know, catching the football. Because Garrett Wilson now might snag offensive rookie of the year, yes. thanks to, you know, an injury has factored into that race all year long. But mm-hmm. That wasn't happening with Zach Wilson. Eli Moore was out there liking tweets saying trade him and all these things. Eli Moore's happy as a clam all of a sudden. Eli was like, man, I never wanted to leave here. I love New York. I love the Jets. Want to jet up, baby. Want to be a Jet for life. They love this guy, Mike White, because you're right. Like they're eating good, as you said. And that's the game changer. But to pull it back to your point here, no, I'm not betting the Niners at minus 400. And that's also why the Niners have the fifth best odds to win the Super Bowl, DRS. Fifth best odds to win the Super Bowl. Is that how talented this team is?
And I don't know if it's because, granted, it's not a public perspective. Like the book isn't just going to be like, hey, nobody's bet this yet, but here's where I think the public is going. But that's another point I wanted to bring up with the 49ers and what's going on around them. The magnitude of what, like, would it be different? Like, let's say Brock Purdy came in, they still won this football game, but he only had to throw 17 times because McCaffrey housed, you know, two long touchdown runs. Would we be thinking the same? Or are people getting the adage of, like, wow, they just beat the Dolphins and Purdy threw 37 times, wasn't a detriment? Heck yeah, Super Bowl. But you have to remind yourself, this is a rookie quarterback that's about to try to take you on a Super Bowl run. Mm-hmm. That wasn't Kevin. The number one overall draft pick and started in week 3 and has 12 games under his belt. You're talking about a handful of games before you enter into the playoffs? It's fascinating stuff, but I think you're right. We'll talk about where those odds stack up in the NFC because, I mean, come on. You can't have a rookie quarterback and still be like, hey, this is my favorite team. Can't do it. Come on back. We'll talk. Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is the home of the winning edge right here on Moneyline. 1-3 Eastern, Monday through Friday. It's Donnie and Kevin here. Quick episode, or should I say quick segment, before we get to the top of the hour. In hour number two, we're going to find out where JP's going tonight. There are 3 NBA games tonight, a short card in NCAA action, but obviously a Thursday night football game between the Raiders and the Rams, where I think he's going, JP?
I'm going to the NFL.
All right. Then again, we always like to ask, I'm thinking it's a prop bet tonight. What do you think, K-Dub? I don't even want to ask him the question. I just think it's a prop bet.
I actually think he might like the total in tonight's game.
All right, JP. What is it going to be, a side total or a prop?
Side total.
Oh, man. I was feeling that one. All right, so we've got a side total. Setting the table at FanDuel. 6.5 is the line here on the Rams. Total, 42.5. Was it 43.5 when we were doing the show this morning?
Yes, it was.
So dropping here. And Kevin and I, yeah, pretty much on the same page, which Baker should not come in and dominate. And I don't think he will. But I don't think people understand Baker Mayfield is like, hey, first team, first impression. It's just a new team, first impression. Let me make some of these throws. Let me wow some people. Where's my potential? Which means pick 6 and touchdowns at the same time. Like, I'm with you on that. So if we're looking at a side total, it can't be a side. Like, JP's not going Raiders, like, -6.5 tonight, is he? He can't be doing that.
I think he's betting the over. That was my thought from the onset here. Raiders bad defense. Like, that's why I guessed the total.
And it just felt like one of these games where he would be involved.
Now, JP's on one, though. He's on one, though. Yesterday, I mean, he took a future for the NFL. No. He's on one. And JP, tell him where you went yesterday for this weekend.
Yeah, I don't need the points in the Jets-Bills game. I just took the Jets outright.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, here we go. See what he's – that's why I needed that for reference of what your choice might be after the break. Because that wasn't like, oh, he's painting by numbers out here. Like, he just said no points. Like, I don't even need 9.5. Mm-hmm. Just Jets outright. They're taking care of business in Buffalo. So, I think that's – I wanted to get that in there to sort of, you know, sway the scales here of justice. Where maybe he might be looking at something, maybe we're not. And how are you going to hit me with a 5? Is that really the question? We're out of here. We're out of here for this hour. We'll be back in segment number 2. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.